know, whatever you guys are facing today, whatever you guys are dealing with, or, you know, looking down upon, or, you know, whatever it is that you guys are facing, especially with, you know, the COVID that's still going on, you know that, you know, it will come to an end at some point. You know, your difficulties and your situation will come to an end at some point. We just need to, you know, live each day and not focus on tomorrow, but live each day and enjoy each day that we are living and that we are enjoying ourselves.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
All right, it's that time again for the Professor of Perseverance Podcast. I'm Dr. James Perdue, the Professor of Perseverance himself. Here where we find people who have overcome adversity, overcome a struggle, overcome challenge, and has turned around and kicked life in its teeth and is firing through best as possible. Hey, today our guest, boy, this is going to be fun. Today our guest, he was born with a congenital disability known as Apert's syndrome. Now, what that means, part of what I understand the meaning is, his forehead was pushed outward when he was born. His nose and mouth were pushed inward into his face. And his fingers and toes were fused together. Hey, just like a lot of doctors back then, and I don't hope not today, but recommend him to be institutionalized that he would, you know, not really do anything in life. Now, let's go ahead and tell you what he has done a little bit. Went to college, got his associate's degree, got a bachelor's degree in youth ministry. He, his life saying, here his life saying is, can't is not in my vocabulary. Welcome to an author of the book. Let's go and put his book up here. Author of the book, Overcomer, Discovering God's Plan Against All Odds. Welcome to the show, Dorsey Ross.
Well, thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you for being here and coming to fire us up, get us all going and everything like that. And but, I mean, there's something I got to say, Dorsey. I mean, you know as well as I do. You're disabled. I'm disabled. You know, you talked about all this, you know, stuff. You know, you didn't do any of this. You're just making it up. You're dreaming. You're wishing, you know. But now, I say that facetiously because I don't know about you, but I have experienced people that are able-bodied, normal, however you want to put it, and they act surprised when I'm pushing my wheelchair or something.
Right.
So now I say it facetiously that I don't know if you've heard it before, but yeah, some people, there's a bunch of great people out there, but there's a bunch of people that are, we'll just call them ignorant and don't know and don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. Dorsey, appreciate you again being here, getting us going and everything like that and getting us all fired up. If you could go ahead and talk to us about your Apert's syndrome, and we'll move on from there with questions.
Yeah, I was born on January 16th, 1977, with a birth defect or congenital birth defect called Apert syndrome. And as you already said, my forehead was pushed out, with my eyes and nose were pushed back in my head, and my fingers and toes were fused together. I had no individual movement of them. And, you know, when the doctors had rushed me off to be examined, they also came to the conclusion that I had no sore spot and no skull opening, meaning that I had no room for my brain to grow and no, you know, and because of that, I would eventually become brain dead. And, you know, like you said, back then, they, you know, really didn't have any, because of that, have any hope or any, you know, thing that they could really do for me. So they gave the option to my parents to sign the papers over and to put me into a institution. And thankfully, my parents were people of faith, and they, you know, trusted in God, and they said, you know, look, we're not going to, you know, put him into a institution. We're just going to take him home and see what will happen in his life. And while I was in the hospital, they had found out from a nurse in the hospital that they would, that doctors at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital were doing operations on babies like myself. And when my parents took me there, they said the doctor had, you know, looked me over and examined me, and the doctor there said, you know, we can do the operation to relieve the pressure on his brain and to, you know, relieve the swelling, you know, whatnot. And he'll have, you know, difficulties that he'll have to overcome, and he'll have a lot of obstacles that he'll have to face in his life, but he'll, you know, he'll survive. So I had my first of many operations at 6 weeks of age to open the skull and to allow my brain to grow and to function normally. And throughout my life, I've had about 68 operations to, you know, reconstruct my face and to, you know, do a little bit more, you know, with my face to look at, to make it look more like, you know, my dad, or look, make it look more like, you know, what a, you know, quote unquote normal person would look like.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so it's amazing what technology is today. In 77, I'm sure that was amazing technology in 77 compared right. to the, and see, just 6 short years in 83, I had my injury. And 1983 was no different than you in 77 being born. I was told to be put into a nursing home or institution when I had my injury. Now, yeah. I need to think that's still going on today. And maybe in some circumstances, I can understand advising families like that. But, you know, with me, my brain was still working. I just didn't understand. Of course, they were talking about I would be too much of a burden to provide care right. from there. So, and I'm sure the doctors at that time was going with the best medical advice, what they had at that time. And again, here's one thing. We're all individuals. They want to lump us all together. And, you know, they want to lump you all in year one, Aberts syndrome, all together. This happened to the first 1,000 babies, and he needs to follow their direction, go into an institution. So I'm glad that the technical aspect of medicine has advanced, that they were able to free your brain. Basically, that's what they did, freed it for it to be able to grow nutrients and have you survive.
Yeah. And like you said, with the institution, they don't, you know, like you said, hopefully they don't have that anymore. And they probably don't. They could, what they call it now is abortion. You know, the yeah. parents go in, or the woman goes in, and, you know, they see the baby has, you know, Down syndrome, or, you know, maybe Aplet syndrome, and the doctor says, hey, your baby's going to be, you know, Down syndrome, or Aplet syndrome, or cerebral palsy, or whatever it might be, and, you know, it's going to be
them an option.
What's that?
Well, giving them an option.
Right.
And then, whether they wanted to deal with that or not.
Yeah.
And Nancy, thank you for coming in. Nancy's here. And Nancy's already asking a question right off the bat. She was noted, did all this affect your eyesight?
No, my eyesight has been pretty, you know, pretty good, you know, for most of my life. I, you know, last couple of years I was supposed to be wearing, even now I'm supposed to be wearing, you know, glasses for certain things, but for the most part, I can, you know, see, you know, basically, you know, fine.
Okay. And now, Doris, I'm not sure on this question here. I'm sure you've heard it before. I would think you would have. Do they know how or why you were born this way? Is there something in your mom and dad's brain, something in their DNA, something your mother ate something wrong, contracted it? I mean, do they have an idea?
Yeah, it's a genetic defect, you know, just in the DNA of, you know, somehow with, you know, in my parents' genes somehow, or my dad's genes, I guess, you know, but it's a rare thing. You know, I don't even know, you know, I know, as far as I know, I don't have it, you know, my dad doesn't have it on his side of family, so it's just something that, you know, happened, unfortunately.
So it's mainly passed on through the male sperm?
Correct, in the male DNA.
Now, have you been tested or whatnot? Do you know that you have it in your gene? Could you pass it on to an offspring? Or is it one of them 50-50, 80-20?
Yeah.
It could happen. It may not happen.
Right. Because, you know, God willing, I get married at some point in my life. You know, it would be a 50-50 chance of me passing it on to my son or to my daughter at some point.
Okay. All right. So now, you know as well as I do, growing up, when you're looking a little different, and I was 19 when I had my injury, so I had, I guess, what called a normal childhood growing up. But with you and your congenital birth defect and growing up, you know out there, there's some good kids. They understand. They don't do anything. They don't push buttons. They'll talk to you, try to be your friends. But then you have it on the opposite spectrum, bullies, calling you freak, monster. And that's just where they just don't understand. And again, ignorant on everything. And hopefully when they grew up, they learn more watching you through school. So did you ever face any of stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. I did it. You know, I experienced that a lot. Even as an adult, there are times that I've experienced that. Even when I went to, you know, the school for people with disabilities, you know, people with other disabilities that I went to school with would be, you know, would bully me and would bully other students as well.
Now, so, let's stop right there, and let's stop because going to a school or educational system, whatnot, training system, whatnot, for students with disabilities. Now, we have one in Tennessee where I live, and I went to it as well here as well. And, you know, you are exactly right. There are people with disabilities that are just like the normal spectrum around the world, compassionate, loving, caring, bully, pick on you, make fun of you. It's the same thing in the disability community as well, that people are like that. When all of it, I used to tell people and say, man, we're all disabled. We ought to be pulling everybody up and helping everybody get in this world and do right.
Right.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. It's don't think because we're disabled and people are coddling in us. No. People with disability, they're just as mean and can be as much as loving and caring as well.
Oh, absolutely, definitely.
So I was surprised when I went to that educational place and witnessed that firsthand. So,
yeah.
All right, now then, going through schools, were you in regular classrooms, mainstreamed, special ed? And how did the teachers feel in the long run about you? I read your bio, and you know they were saying you wouldn't even make it through college, and then here you went through two your community college and a university, and got your minister and youth and everything. So, were your teachers supportive, or were they like, Dorsey, we need to look at the what you can do, and one thing you can do is put this can on this shelf. And that's the job you're going to get, is putting cans on the shelf.
Right. Yeah, I think it depending on who you talk to, as far as like who was supportive and who wasn't in my school. Because as I said, I went to a school for people with disabilities, and it was all, you know, special ed type experience. And I was even held back one year because, you know, I wasn't understanding and I wasn't fully, you know, clasping all that I could for the one year of high school that I was in. So I was held back for the one year along with the other students. And, you know, it was hard for me. I didn't do well in math. I didn't do well in certain subjects and certain tests. You know, as you said, you know, my parents were very supportive. My parents were the best supporters that I had in my in my life. And my dad is still the biggest, you know, supporter of my life as far as family goes. And, you know, as I started to get older and started to, you know, think about what I wanted to do after I graduated, you know, I started to think about going on to community college and going on to Bible college to get that degree in ministry. And then I had that meeting in high school with that teacher, and he, you know, was asked, do you think that Dorothy will be able to make it in college? And he said, No, I don't think that Dorothy will be able to make it in college. I don't think he has the ability to make it in college. And then they asked me, and I said, yeah, I think I could make it, you know. And I think one of the reasons why I said that was because of my parents' support and my parents', you know, ability and, you know, allow me to figure out, you know, what am I able to do and what am I not able to do. And that's something I wanted to figure out. Would I be able to make it in college? Would I be able to have the understanding of the subject matter and of the testing and, you know, whatnot? And even when I was younger, because of all the operations I had to have home tutoring when I was younger because I wasn't in school all the time. I was out of classes a lot for, you know, weeks and maybe even months at a time because of the operation. So thankfully, the, you know, what I experienced, what the kids are experiencing now, what I experienced back then was basically homeschooling with a tutor that would, or a teacher that would come to the home to teach me and to, you know, help me to keep up with what, you know, the subjects and the classes that I was taking at that time. But I persevered. And I said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to go on to community college and see what happens.
That's right. And you mentioned a couple of things here, Darren. That is one with your teachers. You said it depend on who you may be talking to. Will it depend on who's going to give you hope or try to limit you? And that's the same. And that's the same in any teaching aspect, whether it's for special ed or the mainstream normal kids, whatnot. Is it depends on the teacher, how they want to influence the kids. And there's a bunch of negative teachers as much as positive teachers.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you were able to be with some that were at least going to allow you to explore as far as you can go. So that's awesome. And you mentioned about mom and dad, great supporters and everything. I tell people that I'm glad. God knew the family I needed to be with. And again, I didn't become disabled until I was 19 years old. But he knew the family I needed to be with way before I was born. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but they have sacrificed so much to make sure I have a good life. And so I can only thank them and God for all they've done for me.
Yeah, absolutely. They did. My mom, you know, when I was growing up and I was in the hospital, she stayed with me, you know, continuously. I don't remember one time when I was in that hospital that she went home. You know, she had to sleep on the floor next to me. She slept on the floor next to me. She had to sleep on the couch. She slept on the couch. She slept on the, you know, pull out bed or whatever it was. She slept on there.
Well, you got a better mother than mine. Mine would have kicked me out of bed and she would have slept in the bed and put me on the floor. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Again, she has sacrificed a lot and she's done the same thing. She would sleep on the sofa when I was in the hospital to make sure if I need anything overnight, if the nurse didn't get there in time. And my brother is the exact same way. And so, exactly. So, and sad thing apart you mentioned here is, can you take a daggum break from school for teachers coming to home? Man, give me a break. Let me take 3 weeks off. So, all right. Now, here's one thing I got from listening to you about mom and dad supporting everything and them encouraging you. I'm glad they didn't put the big bubble wrap around you and say, no, 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 don't play in the mud. No, 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 don't go do this. You may get cut. No, 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 don't do this. You may fall down. And I'm glad they let you explore and do to find your own limits and to find how far you can go.
Oh, absolutely. They, you know, I was out in the street playing baseball. I was out in the street playing football. I was out, you know, riding a bicycle in the park, and, you know, going up the hills, going down the hills. You know, I was in the roller skating rink, you know, going roller skating and, you know, not knowing how to stop, or ice skating and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, your neck of the woods where you live up in Pennsylvania, y'all get that ice skating rink. Here where I live, we do have one now, but we didn't have one for years in Nashville, Tennessee. But we do have one now. But
I grew up in Queens, New York for the most of my life, and then on Long Island. I just moved to Pennsylvania seven or eight months ago now.
Okay. Well, so in Queens anyway, over there, I'm sure you were probably taught to skate on the ice before you learned to walk with there, because I know they're really, really big with their ice hockey and stuff in that area.
Right.
So, all right. Let's see now, Nancy. This is a question I was going to ask Nancy. Me and you're on the same wavelength. All right, Dorsey, Nancy, and I want to know, any time you ever feel like giving up or possibly ending your life, moving on, being without it, have you thought of?
Well, you know, like you said earlier, you know, there's no way I could have done all these things, and you know, there's no way I could have. You know, I thought about giving up. Of course, I did. You know.
Yeah.
Of course, I thought about giving up. You know, there were times. You know, I heard those voices in my head. You know, which I believe was spiritual. You know, where I felt. You know, I heard those voices say, you know what, your life is worthless. Don't, you know, give up. You know, end your life. You're not going to make it, you know, to anything. You're not going to make it to do anything in your life. You might as well just end it now.
Yes. And I believe all of us, whether normal, however you want to call it, able body, that we all go through a little pity party pit and we think it's time to give up. Not, and then for whatever reason, we don't listen to that inner voice and we decide to move on. So,
yeah.
Now, Dorsey, give us two or three, what gave you the instinct or whatnot to continue to persevere?
Well, you know, definitely a godly thing that, you know, helped me to know that, you know, he had something greater in store, you know, for my life. That he, you know, that there was something there that, you know, I needed to persevere for and I needed to pursue, and that he had a plan and a purpose for, you know, for my life. And of course, you know, it was my parents, you know, that helped me with that as well. And it was just, you know, my thrive and my, you know, my thrive to not give up in life.
There you go. I was going to what was I going to say? I was talking about thinking about Now, Dorsey, you done threw me for a loop here. What was it? No. You don't have to be spiritual. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to believe in a God. There ought to be something that you believe in that keeps you going or whatnot. And so I'm not pushing any religion or whatever, but you have to have a purpose in life. You've got to have a reason why to get up in the morning to go do whatever you're going to do. All right. And so people, you know, like you and I and Nancy, that we believe in a God, we believe in Jesus, that we believe the Bible says, I have a purpose for you to right. prosper and to move, you know, to do. And so you got to believe in that. And my little short tidbit on that was back in 2009, I attempted suicide 3 times in 3 days. That's how bad I wanted out. And the last time they found me sucking in carbon monoxide out of my van and got me to the hospital, put me in a hyperbaric chamber where it forced the carbon monoxide out, oxygen in, and I was in the hospital for 7 weeks. Now, I didn't die. So that goes and shows me that God still has a plan for me. I may not understand it at that time, but still there's a plan that goes on through this. So that's my little tidbit on that one. So, all right, Dorsey, let's see here. Now, talked about mom and dad, family. You got brothers, sisters?
I have one older sister. She lives down in North Carolina, and I got one sister who passed away in 2013 or 14.
All right. And so they did not get this gene?
No.
All right. So, all right. So now then, with this gene growing up, you've had your negative aspect in life and you had other people piling on, but you're still able through faith, through God, through mom and dad, through your own intuition, that to stay positive and to persevere.
Yes, sir.
So, all right. And we're glad you did. We're glad you're still here. We're glad you're doing. And again, my facetious earlier about you didn't really do. No, I know. I trust that you did. And again, let's see here. We're talking with the author of Overcomer, Discovering God's Plan Against All Odds. So in a minute, we're going to have Dorsey give his website and stuff where you can go get you and buy you a copy of it. So would that be a signed copy?
It would be a signed copy. If you bought it directly on my website, it would be a signed copy.
There you go. So everyone on the podcast, on the YouTube and Facebook, in a minute, we're going to get his website and get a copy of the book and get it signed, get it autographed. That way in 20 years from now, you can sell it on ebook and make you $40,000-$50,000 maybe. So, all right. All right, Dorsey, man, I enjoy your life and everything. Now, how do you stay so positive? I know there's times that you're down and out, but you get out of that, you move on. But again, what do you think makes you stay so positive?
You know, I think it helps, you know, definitely connecting with friends, you know, helping, you know, talking to friends, you know, staying connected with my dad and, you know, talking with him and just being able to go out, you know, just being able to go out and, you know, see people at church and see people in the neighborhood and just, you know, talking to them and being, you know, encouraged by them.
There you go. When I have my little pity parties down and out and everything, I'll usually take my service dog, Ricardo, and we'll go to his favorite walking establishment, and we'll call it Wally World. And just to watch people that want to pet him, love on him, they tell stories of how they had to put their dog down 8 months ago, and they're crying because I'm sharing him, and they thank me for sharing him. And boy, if you can't stay positive after stuff like that, something just ain't right. And so I'm glad that he's here to spread some joy for everyone, not just for me. So I'm glad I get to share him. So, all right, Dorsey, man, I appreciate you being on. And if you can just take and go ahead and tell us your social media, how people can find you, and I will definitely link stuff in the notes here, but if you can go ahead and just tell everyone.
Yeah, my website is www.DorseyRossSamMinistries.com. You can find my book under in the tab. You can go down and find it and buy it on there. You also find me on Instagram and on Facebook as well. Just, you know, look up my name. I'm, you know, the good looking guy on there, so you'll be able to find me, no problem.
And do you go around and speak to groups, organizations, associations?
I do. I go to different, you know, I can go to different groups. I go to, you know, I go to churches and speak at church events and youth ministries and things of that nature as well.
Good deal. And for the ones that's coming in for the event planners, it would benefit both of us if we could do this stuff on the internet, so we wouldn't have to do that traveling. And it'd save y'all traveling fees. So it'd be a lot easier on both of us. So, all right. But Dorsey, man, you've been just, this is a thrill and a joy to get to meet you and to be. And I'm like you when you're talking about being around all these other people that are positive, meeting people. Great thing about this technology, man. I wouldn't have been able to meet you today if it wasn't for this technology today. And I tell people, you know, where again, years ago, I attempted suicide, that I believe I still have a purpose. And I believe this is one of my purposes. It took how many years for me to get onto a podcast, but finally learned to do this. I started a YouTube channel 3 or 4 years ago. And so, yeah, just to be able to spread the message, spread some hope, spread some encouragement to somebody that's going to need it. And you know as well as I do, this stuff they claim is going to be here forever now. So when someone finds this, you're going to help someone else 100 years from now, Dorsey.
Right.
So, all right, Dorothy, you know people are struggling today, and if you don't mind leaving us with a positive message and to bless all of us, that'd be awesome, man.
Absolutely. You know, whatever you guys are facing today, whatever you guys are dealing with or, looking down upon or, you know, whatever it is that you guys are facing, especially with, you know, the COVID that's still going on, you know that, you know, it will come to an end at some point. You know, your difficulties and your situation will come to an end at some point. We just need to, you know, live each day and not focus on tomorrow, but live each day and enjoy each day that we are living and that we are enjoying ourselves.
Amen, brother. Appreciate the word and everything like that. Yep. We'll get through the test of time. We just have to have some faith, be positive, and persevere. Nancy, thank you for coming in. She said, yes, she was able to kind of pick her family, but she thanks God for him picking the right one to be with her as well. Nancy, thank you for coming in. Hey, anybody that's coming on the replay, hey, after you hear this, be sure to share it out to someone. Again, you don't have to have the Ebert syndrome like Dorsey. You don't have to be a spinal cord injury like myself, but the word of hope and encouragement to be able to persevere is still the same. Be sure to share it with someone out there. Woo! And if I can help you, be sure to go to my website, professorofperseverance.com, and you can get a free mini course along with a free ebook of Your Past Doesn't Have a Future, But You Do. Create your future today. Hey, everyone else, thank you for coming in and doing. All right, let's do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.